Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter, too, because our good friend Stephen Baum is with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen is the author of What Made Jack Welch. Jack Welch, he is one of the world's top business leaders. That's an organization that puts great minds, great CEO minds together, including your mind, and around a table, and they share ideas and get better for the process. And he's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Stephen Baum. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, Stephen. We've missed you. We're glad you're back. Recently, you were at an event where an economist was fielding questions from the CEOs, the small business, medium-sized business CEOs in the audience. I'd like for you to tell my audience a little bit about what happened.
Well, it was really exciting, Jim. There were hundreds of Vistage business owners in the room, and Alan Bowyer, who's the economist, whose outfit gives forecasts on when the cycles are going to change direction,
right,
answered really two questions that was on everybody's mind. How much longer will this recession last, and how should I see my job as boss? How do I show up? What do I focus on? What do I communicate?
Mm-hmm.
And before I tell your listeners my takeaways and what they can do in answer to those questions, sort of as a stage setter, there was a piece in the New York Times by David Brooks, of whom I'm normally a fan,
mm-hmm.
that was half right, and because it was only half right, it really got me upset. It was flawed advice, and it was a bum rap for business owners. And I'll just tell you the sort of bottom line was that a lot of research in the past says that the folks who have the best earnings track records are the ones with low interpersonal skills, little insight into other human beings, and are unidimensional.
Kind of boring, plotting guys who are more technicians and not so much personality.
That's right, and more than that, the implication that they're heartless and uncaring.
Yeah.
And I read
the article, and I didn't get the heartless and uncaring thing. I did get the idea that they might be a little not be as empathetic as maybe, and I got the feeling that maybe that in his article that he was revealing this research. By the way, he was following the research, and I got the feeling that he was saying that maybe that these people were a little dispassionate. They weren't as passionate, say, as an entrepreneur would be. I got the feeling he was talking about career CEOs, for example, rather than the founder of a company. You agree or disagree?
Well, I agree, because the Vistage members really are identified with their companies. They're not like some of the Wall Street guys who can take risks because they know they'll be gone by the time the balloon bursts.
And with the golden parachute.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, if my business fails, as a founder of this company, and I'm talking about my specific company, folks, if my business fails, I've got everything in this thing, Stephen, just as your members do.
But I'll tell you, Jim, I think that's unfair even to the corporate guys. I work pretty closely with Jim Broadhead, who took a complacent lifetime employment electric utility with lifetime employment and not great performance,
mm-hmm.
and turned it around with a new social contract with the employees, which was, you perform well, and I will make you more marketable every day.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was not a showman, he was not a charismatic human being, it was anything but, he was a quiet, tough, demanding human being. He had great insight into what motivates people,
but that's always on
message about what's in it for them.
But what you just described, that kind of a personality, is the kind of person that Brooks described in the article.
Well, except that.
Except for the last part.
Yes, except for the last part. But what I'm going to tell you is a result of this workshop we had. That last part is incredibly important. One other story. You probably know Gordon Bethune.
Yes.
Who took over Continental Airlines when it was about to be bankrupt.
Right.
And for whatever you think of them today, he turned the worst airline into the first place airline during his tenure.
Right.
And he turned to me. I've met him several times, and he said, it starts out with the idea that this airplane's going to get fixed sooner if somebody wants to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding what it takes to motivate the people in the organization to stay and do things and try and perform.
Right.
And so now I'll come back to the workshop.
Hold on to that thought, Stephen. We're gonna let you pick up on that when we come back after these messages.
Sure.
Folks, this is fascinating stuff. This is leadership stuff that I hope you're paying attention to, because if you own your business, if you're the business owner, if you're the manager of your company, you're the alpha member. And everybody else, you may not do everything, but everything else that gets done revolves to a large degree around how you behave. 20 till, stay with us. That you love. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Stephen Baum. And by the way, folks, if you'd like to check out what we got going on online, you can find me at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check out all the things that we have there, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, hundreds and thousands of all those. And my blog is there, which we post on a regular basis, and my knowledge base, the AskJim.biz, is there. You can ask a question about your small business and get an answer, maybe many answers. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. I hope you'll do that. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something that will help you. And of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Stephen Baum is with us. He's the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. And we're talking about this event that you were at last week, Stephen, or maybe it was this week, about that, where the economist was answering the question about when's the economy gonna recover, and what kind of a manager do I need to be in the new? Do you think that's what they were asking, Stephen? Do you think that the question is, you know, is the future going to be so much different that I've got to retool myself to be prepared to lead into this new environment?
That's one of the big worries on the minds of these folks. That's,
I think it's a valid. I think it's completely justified.
They've been hunkered down for a long time, and one of the things that he was getting at is, if you keep your head down long enough, you'll get run over.
I like that.
So let me go first to the forecast.
All right.
He showed us almost a dozen leading indicators of cycle change, and not a single one was turning up yet. We are still sliding downward, he said. You can expect that toward the end of the year and into the early of 2010, that we will see the bottom stop from falling, and that we will start to see some slow recovery.
So he's predicting that we'll have negative growth through 09?
Through 09.
Wow. And that's, you know, not too many people are doing that.
Well, he's got all these leading indicators, and they're all still facing downward.
Even people who aren't predicting that won't argue with him.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in my particular Vistage group, we have 13 business owners, and around the table, through the terrible times we've had over the last year or two, they are now, each of them, almost every one of them, showing some easing of the pressure. Not a lot, but some easing of the pressure, and in some cases an actual uptick in the revenue.
Right.
And what's happened is they've all reduced their capacity.
Mm-hmm.
They've all found every nickel they can find. They've looked at things they never looked at before. One of them told me he got his printing costs down 80% because they'd never looked at them since the day he was founded. So they've done all the hard stuff. They've laid people off. They've separated people they love and have done business with for a very long time. They've done the things they could hardly bring themselves to do.
The painful part should be over.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know whether it's over, but the toughest, biggest changes that they had to make in the company, they've made. And so they're operating many of them with a capacity that's half of what it was in 05.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beginning to restore margins, and they're beginning to be opportunistic by investing only in those things that will change their competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
They're not spending money otherwise.
They're sticking to their knitting.
They still agree with Beaulieu that they're going to need a cash hoard at the end of the year. They're going to need mm-hmm. a cash hoard to get through this, and they're going to need a cash hoard for the opportunities that are going to come up
right.
when some of their competitors die, as they surely will.
Well,
And when they can buy into market share.
It seems to me one of the things that I've been talking a lot about, Stephen, is getting business owners to operate for survival, but plan for the opportunities that should be coming at us.
That's a great way to put it. We've said in our group that survival is victory.
Right, exactly. I talked about that earlier. I said most small businesses should have the goal of opening their door January 1, 2010.
Well, that plus the second half of what you said, some of the guys have made acquisitions on an earn-out basis of small competitors or small
right.
businesses
right.
that they know can provide cash flow. And some of the larger ones are redoing the deals with the banks at this time. They're
right.
using this lull in the wind
mm-hmm.
compared to 6 months ago
right.
to look around and see what can I do to strengthen myself. Even though, as you said, many of the businesses know that a really bad hiccup could put them in terrible trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a CEO master class I do at Pace University where I interview business owners and CEOs in front of the students so they can have some lessons. And there's one fellow I interviewed recently, David Liu, who founded TheKnot.com. It's a wedding site, but it's mm-hmm. really a media company, magazines and online and
right.
e-commerce and all that. And a couple of things stuck in my mind during the course of that interview. He's had at least two, maybe three, what he called fume dates. A fume date is when all the cash you have is vaporized and there's nothing left.
Right.
He went public and the stock was delisted when the bubble burst in 2000.
Wow.
So he's been through a lot of what would appear to terminal upsets.
And he's been through some stuff.
The venture capitalist who funded him said one of the reasons she put the money in, this is Hummer Winblad, a big VC in California, he had a command of his marketplace. He really knew his market, knew his competitive advantage. He really had a disruptive approach to it. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing was that it was clear he would rather die than give up.
that's so classic entrepreneur, American entrepreneur. We're pathological optimists.
Well, he has a $100 million publicly traded profitable internet media company, and there's not very many people who can say that.
No, absolutely.
Well said. He's more than 5 years old in the business.
Hold on to that thought. Stephen Baum is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, he's going to talk to us about how we should behave as leaders of our organizations in the future. Tintel, stay with us.
In the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
We're back at 7 till little Otis Redding bring us back on the dock of the bay. Stephen Baum is our guest, and he's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. Stephen, give us your website and tell us how we can find your book.
The website is Stephen H. Baum Leadership. Stephen with a PH, Stephen H. Baum Leadership.com. Thank you.
Baum is the last name. Go ahead.
Stephen H. Baum, leadership.com. The book is subtitle is How Ordinary People Become Extraordinary Leaders. It's not really a book about Jack Welch alone. It's about 35 other CEOs and how they show up and what shaped them, prepared them to do that.
Right.
And in fact, what I will be doing after the Memorial Day holiday is putting a suggested reading list up that I think will be very useful for people. I'm always looking for books, ever since I got mine published by Random House, that help me understand further what we're learning about what
mm-hmm.
makes great leaders.
Mm-hmm.
There is, for example, a new book out called A Whole New Mind by Daniel Pink.
Yeah, Dan Pink's a good friend of ours. He's a member of our Brain Trust.
Yeah, well, it's all about why right-brainers will rule the future, and it gets
right.
at this whole issue of whether
mm-hmm.
being a methodical focus on just economic efficiency makes sense for where
right.
we are going.
Right, right. So let's talk about what your economist said about what leaders should be expected, what should be expected of them in the future. What did he tell you?
Well, let's take as a given, let's stipulate that focusing, right. continuing to focus on staying lean is important.
Right, that won't change.
That won't change. Let's continue to stipulate that you're going to have to watch your cash really,
right.
really carefully.
Right, cash is still going to be king.
Find ways to love your customers, to keep your customers, mm-hmm. and to take customers. That's all a given.
And never take them for granted. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. But he told an anecdote of he was in a Vistage group meeting and went outside during a break and saw posted on the wall the financial results of the little company, and they were down 85% from the year before. 85% from the year before.
Mm.
And he showed the forecast over the next 6 months, month by month by month, and he noticed that there was a group of employees celebrating and eating pizza at the end of the day underneath the 85% down line. And he said, "What is this?" And the owner said, "Well, we were down 90% last month. And I believe we're going to be down 72% next month. And what I want to do is convey to these people two ideas. Number one, I'm in this to stay in this. I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And number two, we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this."
Well, there's such a thing, Stephen, as not liking the numbers, but liking the trend.
Exactly.
Celebrating the trend.
And this is a moment, in the book, I call this parenting at work. When the family is in dire straits, and there's a lot of families in dire straits, what is needed is for the parents to stand up and show the children some sense of confidence. I'm not saying the employees at work are children.
Mm-hmm.
And my offspring are in their 30s, so I certainly have to treat them as
right.
if they're adults.
Right.
But there is a role of the boss, a role of the parent that says, "We're in this for the long haul, I'm staying with you, and we're going to get through this, we're going to be okay. You just have to stay on target for what we need to do." And that, when it comes down to it, that was the bottom line message from the economist,
mm-hmm.
that this is not the Depression again. It is a Great Recession. We'll be discussing this 15 years from now,
right.
what happened during this period.
That's right.
But we are going to come out of this, and if you stay the course and you show your employees that you have that confidence, not overconfidence, but confidence that we're going to get through this, that we're doing all the things we have to do, that's incredibly important.
This is when leadership, and the kind of leadership, I love what Napoleon said. He said, "A soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon." This is a time when your employees will fight long and hard because you're showing up, and as you said earlier, you believe in them. You're celebrating the successes, even though you don't like the numbers, and you're the alpha member. You're the one that has to lead with the attitude. And that's a critical thing for a leader right now, isn't it?
I had a coach who coached me years ago, and he said, "Though, you have to know the difference between an orchid and a marshmallow." A marshmallow is when you say something positive to somebody, and it isn't tangible, it isn't specific, and it isn't believable.
Right.
An orchid is something very tangible, reasonably colorful, and specific. So if you compliment an employee for doing something that's contributing to survival, it needs to be tangible, and it needs to be right after it actually happens.
Lots of orchids, no marshmallows, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Stephen, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Great to be with you.
It's always a pleasure. Stephen Baum, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. We won't do without him for very long. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I will see you on Memorial Day, live right here.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.